Well, many of us here this morning have at one time or another attended a banquet or a gathering to recognize someone. You know, we get an invitation in the mail that someone's being recognized for some great accomplishment. And we're invited to, maybe it's a dinner, maybe it's just simply an informal party or gathering, but we're invited to recognize them for who they are as a result of their accomplishments. And we always feel honored to do that. We can't wait to go and be there as part of that great celebration and recognition. After this recognition, this person is always remembered and recognized based on that event in which they were recognized. You know, people say, hey, there's that guy. Maybe they read about it in the paper. There's that woman that did this or did that that I read about the other day. They had a big event for them and they were recognized for certain things that they did. Even though people may not know the person personally, they are remembered as that person who did great things. This is also true of Jesus in regards to the resurrection. Jesus' life was full of events that identified him in many different ways. John's gospel is a gospel of miracles and signs to present Jesus as the Son of God. Things Jesus did were things that no human being could possibly have done except by the power of Almighty God working in them. And through these miracles, through these events in Jesus' life, we find that Jesus was more than just a man, a historical figure. In the stories of the Gospels and the Bible, Jesus was a provider of food. He was a healer. He was one who calmed the storms. He was one who changed the water into wine. But nothing stands out more in the life of Jesus from which he should be recognized most than that of his resurrection from the dead. It's like the grand event of events. Now, you might believe in Jesus as a great teacher. You might believe in Jesus as a wise man. You might believe in Jesus as a prophet. You might believe in Jesus as a physician. But you can't get around recognizing Jesus as the one who overcame the grave, because many recognized him after he was crucified, and many still today have a relationship with the risen Christ and Savior. And some say, well, how can Jesus be alive? If he was human, as you claim, how can he be alive? He was killed. He was crucified on a Roman cross. That's what Mary must have been thinking when she went there on the very first Easter Sunday morning. How could he ever be alive? Now, again, I want us to put ourselves in the context of this time period back then, several thousand years ago. The cross was not a Christian symbol. The cross was a Roman torture device and a death trap. Anyone who was condemned to crucifixion was condemned to a horrible, painful, agonizing death that would have been so embarrassing. And they made it even worse because they did it in a place where roads crossed, on this hill called Golgotha outside of the city, where people were traveling by seeing this man who claimed to be the Son of God, the Bible tells us, but this man who did many miracles now hung supposedly helplessly, dying in front of the world. How could Jesus possibly be alive? Well, our text this morning, and we find this story in all four Gospels, which tells us something is important about this story. We have all the Old Testament, thousands of years of people that wrote apart from each other saying the same things. Coincidence? I don't think so. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, many different people writing about God's promises to provide someone to save us from our sins, and that God would promise a Savior. And also even telling us that this person would die, but on the third day rise from the dead and live inside us. So here all these stories from thousands of years ago through the prophets and many people come funneled down to the New Testament to four men who tell the story of how it all went down. It was early on the first day of the week while it was still dark, and Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, that was John, by the way, and said, Jesus is not there. They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. And we don't know where they put him. So Peter and John started for the tomb. They wanted to see themselves. Okay, and they got to the tomb. They had their own little experience. But what they saw was that Jesus' body was not there. The linens were there. They were folded up neatly. But they still did not fully understand all that was going on. Now, we have thousands of years of advantage over these guys. This was just simply their friend. This was a Galilean carpenter who had come into their lives and invited them to follow him. And in following him, they witnessed all these miracles that Jesus did. He was human. They could touch him. They ate with him. They watched him weep over the death of his friend Lazarus. Jesus was as human and as present in their lives as anyone could ever be. And as they watched him be nailed to a cross, their hearts broken, their eyes flooded with tears, this friend, this fleshly person, died in humiliation. How could he possibly be alive? Then the disciples went to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels sitting there. And they said to her, "Why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him." She turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. And we say, we would have recognized him. No, we'd have been in the same boat. They really didn't grasp the awesomeness of the moment. They just could not believe. And I'm not saying they didn't have faith. What I'm saying is, what happened was so astounding, they just could not put the pieces together and say, it's just like he said. So they went back to their homes, and Mary stood outside crying. And when she saw Jesus, he said, "Why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. She said, "If you carry him away, tell me where you put him, and I'll get him." And he just simply said her name, Mary. Mary. Now, did she recognize his voice? Did she recognize the compassion coming out of him for one of his followers weeping, hurting? We don't know. She turned toward him. And she recognized him. "Teacher, Rabboni." She went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them all these things he had said to her. She recognized the risen Christ. She recognized it was him, and she knew without a doubt that it was Jesus. Jesus had told them prior to this that the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and be crucified, but he'll rise on the third day. He had told them this, but they were caught up in the emotion of it all. They just couldn't believe it, and they didn't fully understand what that being raised from the dead really meant. And they really couldn't connect the dots and understand that they were standing in the midst of one of the greatest accomplishments that has ever happened in human history. That a human being was raised from the dead to new life. You know, that's what the word resurrection means, to resurrect in the ancient Greek languages that this was written in. Resurrect means to stand up again. To stand up again. But what they knew now was Jesus wasn't in the tomb. The stone had been rolled away. They didn't fully understand how. One of the gospel writers says it was an earthquake. But they did understand Jesus wasn't there. And Mary understood that he was alive. She recognized him and went back and told the disciples, "I recognize this person was Jesus, and here's what he said to me." Well, you know, there was a strange thing going on with the other disciples that evening. They were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, if you continue to read the story. They were afraid the same thing was going to happen to them that happened to Jesus. So they were afraid and behind locked doors together. Of course, Jesus, again, came and made himself evident to them. "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and his side. And they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Why? Because they recognized that it was this Jesus, their friend and their Lord. They were behind locked doors hiding. You know, yesterday I was listening to Tony Evans, one of the great evangelists of our day, on the radio. And some of the things Tony Evans said really struck me. In our day and age, we live in a time when a lot of people are coming out. You know what I'm saying? The press elevates it. The press puts it right in front of us that this person came out, that person came out, in the communities that they live in, the practices that they're practicing in their lives. Practices that are forbidden in the Bible by God. But they came out. And this is great because what they're doing, they're getting in touch with their true identity. And they're making a public statement of their true identity. And Tony Evans made the statement yesterday, "What would our world be like if Christians came out?" Do I get an amen?
Amen.
What would it be like if our politicians stood up and proudly proclaimed, "I am a Christian"? What would our world and our community, our schools, our homes, our workplaces be like if we bonded together as believers and followers of Christ and recognized Jesus for who he is, the Lord of life and the Lord over the grave, and my Lord and my Savior and the one who is coming to take me home? What a world we would have, huh? Completely turning things upside down. But why isn't the press doing that? Why aren't our politicians doing that? And why, sadly, are some Christians not doing it? Because they're afraid. They're afraid to recognize Jesus and the fact that he is the Son of God, the one who rose from the dead. And I say, what hope can they possibly have in life or in death if we don't recognize who Jesus is? And to not recognize him publicly is the same as Peter did when Jesus was arrested, to deny him. To deny him. Jesus said, "Anyone who denies me, I will deny before my Heavenly Father." Does that ever run through your mind? What God thinks of you according to Jesus? What Jesus testifies to his Father in heaven about you? And I know it's not all about us. But all if we would just stand up and recognize Jesus as the one true Lord who's risen from the dead. You know, that's something, folks, that Christians have that no other religion has. There are, according to society and the pop culture of our day, many roads, many paths to heaven, and you just have to choose the one that's right for you. But you know something? How do you know? Because no one's ever come back to tell us whether it's the right way or not. Except Jesus. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
You see, we claim Christ, but we don't claim Christ died, although we praise him for giving his life on a cross for our sins. But it does not end there. We praise and worship a risen Savior, because a dead Savior is no good to anybody. We worship a risen Savior who has come to tell us this is the right way. Follow me. Follow me. He said to his disciples before he was crucified on that dreadful evening, believe in me, believe in my Father. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you it weren't so. But I'm telling you that I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come back to take you to be with me so that you can be where I am also. Why did Jesus say that? Because he wants you to know the same resurrection glory that he knows. And what did he do? He made himself present. He presented himself the very morning of that first Easter Sunday. Jesus was already at work in the lives of people. He was so beyond the grave that was behind him and what lie before him was to manifest himself, to present himself to the whole world that they might recognize him as the true Savior. The ultimate sign that Jesus was the Messiah happened as promised and as foretold thousands of years ago. And you see, accepting that Jesus was resurrected from the dead is giving him the recognition of Lord of all and Lord over even death in the grave. When we don't accept that, we sell him short like Judas did. And we're not fully recognizing the true Christ of the Bible. And though some today still don't believe he rose from the dead and that he lives today, there will be a time when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether they're in heaven or with the Lord, or whether they're in hell, there's not going to be any denying it, because there's going to be a huge banquet of recognition at which all who recognize him now will be present with him, because they recognize not only does he have power over the grave and rose from the dead, but he has the power to raise all from the dead who believe in him and receive him as their personal Lord. It's called the wedding feast of the Lamb in the book of Revelation, if you want to read about it. Say, that's just a bunch of garbage. That's not going to happen. Well, a lot of people said that Jesus wasn't the Messiah. A lot of people said that he wouldn't rise from the dead. To the point they sealed the tomb with a huge stone and they put soldiers in front of it to guard it. But they didn't have any power over Jesus. You see? Because Jesus is Lord over all. And you see, Jesus, I want you to think about this in closing. Jesus is not Lord because he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead because he's Lord of all. You see? Jesus is not Lord because he rose from the dead. Rising from the dead didn't make him the Lord. He was the Lord from before the earth was created. And he rose from the dead because he's the Lord. And all power, as he said to his disciples when he met with them days later, all power on heaven and earth has been given to me. All power on heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus said. The man that was raised from the dead and went into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from there he comes to judge the living and the dead. That's our faith as Christians. That's our celebration today. That our Lord, our faith is real and it's alive. And his recognition comes from his powerful display of lordship in life and death. His life and death. And our life and death. Let's pray. Our Lord and God,